Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Did you know one in four women 20 years or older, let me say that again, one in four women 20 years or older will experience a pelvic floor disorder in her lifetime? And you're probably saying, what is PFD? What is it? And you're going to find out, because joining me here today is one of the experts in the field. Dr. Kimberly Kenton is joining me here today, Division Chief of Female Pelvic Medicine and Reconstruction Surgery at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. Also, Director of Women's Integrated Pelvic Health Program. Listen, I read that again, Doctor, and welcome to the show. One out of four women 20 years or older. See, this is one of these things where we have to look at this and educate ourselves better, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think that I would say that this is one of the most unfortunately best-kept secrets in medicine, that women just don't talk about this. I think often their doctors don't talk about it. And so as we say in our field, so many women just suffer in silence.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I love doing these segments. And certainly for you, and let me just ask you this question. You know, you are board certified OBGYN. You are somebody that is in the field every day. You are working with women. And you're looking at what we go through. So there's something about this that has sparked a flame inside of you that brings you to this place of passion about this. Tell me what that is. Tell me what you're seeing, and tell me what you'd like to help women with.
Yeah, I'll tell you what kind of directed me to the field of urogynecology or female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery, which is a secondary certification after one is board certified in OBGYN, was medical school. I happened to rotate through a urogynecology service. I was actually a big rollerblader at the time, didn't really know much about the field. And a 63-year-old woman came in who ironically seemed ancient at the time and not so old anymore. And I was like in awe because she was still rollerblading with her grandchildren and had given up rollerblading because she was leaking through her first her pads and then her Depend undergarments. Mm. And when she would talk to her, the OBGYN that had delivered her children 30 years ago said to her, oh, this is normal. This is what happens to women when they get older, you know, oh, well. And I was able to watch the woman who was my mentor lean over, put her hand on her leg and say, this is certainly common in women after they have babies and they get older, but it's not normal. And there's things that we can do to fix it and improve your quality of life. And, you know, I was able to evaluate her, figure out what her goals are, take her to surgery, and see her back a couple months later, and she was, again, rollerblading with her grandchildren and not wearing any undergarments.
Yeah.
So I really realized it was a way that women who were really changing their lifestyles and not doing the things that they want to do and the things that are going to keep them active and healthy, and in a really relatively short period of time, figure out the treatment that works best for them and then improve their quality of life so they can get back to living.
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, Dr. Kenton, one of the things really that I'm struck by, and maybe you can help on this, I'm not quite sure how it is for men, but let's talk about women for a minute. And I rarely leave our men out of the conversation because men can be such incredible support systems. But one of the things I'm really struck by is how many of us are afraid to even bring up the subject with our doctors. And beyond being afraid, don't even know where to start. Can we talk about that for a minute? Because I think knowing the questions to ask, and then also, you know, if you don't like the answer you get, you don't have to settle for it, right? And I think this is something, a pattern that I'd love to see us break.
Yeah, I think that those are such excellent points, you know, and humbling for me as a clinician, you know, probably also sometimes leaves patients hanging when I shouldn't, and certainly not intending to. I think that women, you know, the great thing about pelvic floor disorders are they are quality of life. So women can individualize how much their symptoms are bothering them and when they're ready to seek treatment and what they're willing to go through to get better. But I do think that if you have urinary control problems or bowel control problems or any discomfort in your pelvic area, I think you should bring that up with your physician. Most of us use as our primary points of access as women either primary care physicians, internal medicine, family medicine, or even OBGYN. Ask them about it. Most primary care screening guidelines recommend that primary care doctors have as one of their screening questions, similar to the way they screen for, do you wear your seatbelt and do you smoke? Do you have any urinary incontinence? And many of them may not have the time or the expertise to get into in-depth answers and discussion about those things, but at least ask them for a referral to a board-certified urogynecologist.
You know, I love that we're talking about this because it's really empowering. It's beyond even that, right? But it helps us to understand that there are questions we could ask and that we deserve answers for. But in addition to that, let's talk about what's at stake here for women. You know, are there risk factors? You know, what are some of the things that when you think about this and you're speaking with the patient sitting across from you, you know, it's almost like, did you know this? And, you know, this, the question I'm asking is, there's information you have that will help people make decisions. What are your top three things women should know?
I mean, I think that probably the two biggest risk factors are pregnancy, delivery, and aging. So those aren't necessarily preventable risk factors or modifiable ones. Most of us are going to have a baby and we're going to get older. I haven't figured out how to change that dynamic. But I do think that there's things that we can do along the way. In France, everyone who has a delivery gets referred for pelvic floor physical therapy. It is a standard part of postpartum care. So that's something that we don't do routinely, but if women are educated, I think that they can certainly ask their OBGYNs for referrals to either urogynecology or pelvic floor physical therapy. At Northwestern Medicine, we have a clinic called PPOD, which is run by one of my associates, Dr. Christina Lewicki-Gout, in conjunction with a doctor of physical therapy and an advanced practice nurse who they only see women in that clinic who are either pregnant or newly postpartum, and they're able to develop prevention and treatment plans for individual patients. I also think that as women get older and they start to develop some of these symptoms, I think sometimes they get kind of overlooked by life-threatening conditions. But I think that these can become life-threatening. If you think about, I mean, I see women who are in their 20s and 30s who have already stopped jogging. They don't go on the trampoline with their kids because they're leaking urine. And we just continue to modify our activity levels, you know, starting in our 20s and 30s to the time we're 60 or 70. And we all know the importance of strength training and cardiovascular exercise to prevent more serious life conditions. So I think it's really important that we don't minimize these and we treat them for both our physical health as well as our emotional well-being.
I love that you're talking about this because, you know, first and foremost, thank you so much for bringing that up because what we do is, and I want to get back to something you say. I can't tell you how many times I've been told, well, you know, you are getting older. And, you know, I'm talking about this conversation started like even before I was 40. And right. And we buy into that conversation. And I think if there is one thing that I take away that's very empowering, Dr. Kenton, from what you're doing, is for women to not accept that as, you know, this is just life. This is the way it's got to be. Because we're seeing ourselves stronger than ever, regardless of age. And I wanted to ask you this. I know these are short interviews. You know, how do people find out more information about this? And what do you say to your patients to support them that it doesn't matter what age you are, you can live a full life. You can address this.
Yeah, so I'm going to answer the second question first.
Okay.
So, I mean, as I tell my patients, sometimes they come in and they're like, well, do I need to have the surgery now? I'm not quite ready, but it's probably going to be easier on me than when I get older. And when I say, you know what, like the great thing about our field is if you go to a good urogynecologist, they're going to spend a lot of time trying to understand what individual women's goals for treatment are and what their concerns are and what risks they're willing to endure to tailor the treatment for that patient. And as I always say, you know, the surgical reconstruction I'm going to offer someone that's 40 is different than what I'm going to offer to someone that's 90, mm-hmm. but they're both really effective at curing those symptoms so each of those women can get back to their quality of life and doing whatever activities they want to do. And I'll tell you, I always say we see lots of women in their 90s walk through the door, and sometimes there's a trainee there that kind of says, oh, I mean, that patient's going to be like, probably really old. And I'm like, let me tell you, if they're 90 and they're in my office, they're spry and they're going to be in amazing shape. And I think that that's to your point, that women are living longer, we're in better shape, and, you know, not stopping jogging and going on the trampoline when you're 30 is going to empower us to be stronger when we're 90 and to live a healthy, active lifestyle. I just would say for your second question, which was other online resources, you know, I think there's a lot of good information on the web. There's a lot of misinformation on the web. Two of my favorite sources that are patient-friendly and they're thorough and both evidence-based, so they are reflecting what's published in the peer-reviewed or the medical literature, are we've developed a really nice website at Northwestern Medicine, and that is called urogynecology.nm.org, and the American Urogynecologic Society, which is the premier U.S. organization dedicated to women with pelvic floor disorders, has an excellent online portal called Voices for PFD. And on that website, you can even put in your zip code and find direct access to a board-certified urogynecologist.
Wow. You know, thank you so much for everything you're doing. And again, thank you for the information. Just one last question, if I could. What is your personal message? What would you like to leave all of us with today? And thank you for everything you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my biggest personal message is these disorders are common. They're not normal. There's treatments for them. I think some of the biggest myths I hear in my office every day are that there are no treatments, that surgery is the only option, and that surgeries don't work. And I'm really happy to say none of those things are true. There are many different options ranging from conservative to surgical things. Most of the treatments are highly effective. There's been a tremendous uptick in research in the last 20 years to figure out which treatments are most effective for which patients. And the surgeries are now outpatient, they're minimally invasive, and they're no longer associated with like long downtimes where women come in and they think that they're not going to be able to lift anything for 3 months and then they're never going to be able to do heavy lifting again. And as what I always tell patients is the reason that you're having a treatment or a surgery is to get back to your lifestyle, not for me to tell you you can't do your lifestyle. Otherwise, why have the treatment?
Yeah. Thank you so much for everything. Hey, everybody, listen, there's a lot of great information. Please find out. Pass the word on. Thank you so much, Doctor, for everything.
Yeah, thank you for talking about this important topic.
Yes, it is. We're going to take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Not just talk. Conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Jason Gunn is joining us here today, financial expert and credit cards executive at Bank of America. You know, there's a few things I've learned, you know, over the years now talking to my account rep here at B of A. One of the things I think I've learned is a number of ways to really look at finance from a different lens. But today, do you want some tips for keeping your summer spending in check? Yes, I have to tell you that because you are clicking away. as America reopens, it pays to keep an eye on our wallets. Why? Well, that's what Jason's going to talk about. Jason, it's great to have you.
That's great. Thanks for having me, Dr. Pat.
I'm not kidding. We are a click away from everything. We are, you know, it used to be when you purchase something, you know, there was a lot of thought that was given to it, you know, old school. But now it's like search and click and you've bought something. So help us out now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're absolutely right. I'm guilty of it myself. And I think it's, you know, there's a couple of things. It's really, you know, we always talk about budgeting, but, you know, I think you also have to make sure that you're looking at your budget from what you need versus what you want. And I think most of us probably overspend in the want category versus the need category.
Mm. I want to talk about this. You know, can you talk about spending habits now? I know that we've done a lot of shows, and we're going to continue to do a lot of shows on the fact that we're not going back to what we knew as normal in so many ways. There's a new paradigm and a new shift, and there's a new normal for a lot of things. But you're on the pulse of what people are doing. What are some of the habits? What are you seeing?
Yeah. So we've all been, constrained, if you will, the last 12 to 14 months. And we are seeing that people are going out to restaurants in excess of where we were in 2019. We're seeing people frequent retail stores, which they weren't really able to do in the last 12 to 14 months and really didn't need to, right? You didn't really need to buy new clothes when you were not leaving your house very often. And then we're also seeing some people, you know, return to traveling. So spend levels that we're seeing on both debit and credit cards are 22% higher in the second quarter of 2021 than they were in 2019. And I would also say, though, that people are doing it responsibly. So during the pandemic, we've seen people, you know, have more money from a savings perspective on average than what they did going into the pandemic. And really that was brought on by the fact that you weren't able to spend on some of those bigger ticket items like travel. Some people benefited from stimulus. Other people took advantage of refinancing their debt and, you know, improved their balance sheet. So people have more money to spend, and they also have the desire to spend. I think the key is making sure that, you know, you're disciplined about that and have the right balance of you know, spending on what you want versus what you need.
And, you know, let's talk about this, because from your perspective, when we're thinking about this, we have some tips, and I think that's what people really want to know. We want to know. I'd love for you, Jason, to give us some tips, but on the other hand, I really want to have some summer fun. And so this is really the dance, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it is, and you can do both, right? You know, I would say my observation, particularly around travel, is if you're choosing to travel, it really requires some planning, and you can save yourself a lot of money if you're flexible. And a good example of that is if you're able to travel during the week versus traveling over the weekend, those airline tickets, lodging, the price differences between those are dramatically different. In addition to that, if you're able to travel during the week, I think restaurant prices and deals and things of that nature are more available to you as well. And then, you know, the last thing I would tell you to do is look at how you can earn rewards, and whether that be from a credit card, whether that be from a particular merchant, look into those programs and make sure that you're being rewarded for your spending because, for example, credit card rewards programs over the last couple of years have become more lucrative, and it will benefit you, and you'll be able to save money if you're using a rewards card versus a cash and check, as long as you have the discipline to pay it in full or pay it on time, or you know, use the tools that are available to make sure you're staying on your plan.
And I think that once we learn the benefit of this, I think this is where we're talking about. But, you know, people are really baffled, Jason, by how to select a new card. I mean, I'm going through this myself. You know, I'm at the point now where I'm thinking of consolidating, but it becomes daunting if you don't know how to select a new credit card. So what are some tips on that?
Yeah, so I would say there's a couple things. I would look at the entire banking relationship, for example, and understand what your bank has to offer you. And so a lot of banks only have, you know, a rewards program on a credit card, where Bank of America has a rewards program across our products that really amplifies the benefits that you get. So I'll give you an example. We have a card, Unlimited Cash Rewards, that will earn you 1.5% cash back on all purchases, no limits, no caps. But if you're in our preferred rewards program, which rewards your entire relationship, you have the opportunity to earn 2.62% on that same card just based on the fact that you have a checking account with a bank and you have a certain amount of deposits and investments with the bank. And in addition to the amplifying of the card rewards, it gives you access to discounts on auto loans, gives you access to discounts on mortgages and things of that nature. So it's a more holistic program. So I would look at, you know, not just the card rewards, but just the entire banking rewards when you're doing that evaluation.
You know, I know that we are, and let me just say this, you know, people are so eager to get back to something that looks like or resembles their past fun, their past joy. But at the same time, having a level of awareness so that you're not straining your wallet or that you're making sure you're doing things. Give us some tips on how to track spending, because out of everything we've talked about, I think this is the one area that we really need some help with.
Yeah, so I agree with you. We have the ability to reset. And, you know, and as I said before, many people didn't spend as much and were able to improve their balance sheets. And, you know, let's not go back to kind of where you were if you weren't comfortable where you were. So, you know, I would say gone are the days where you have to wait 30 days for your bill to come in to figure out how much you spent. It's really critical that you take advantage of the online and mobile tools that are out there from your financial institution and stay on track of your spending weekly, because what that does is it allows you to change behaviors during the month so you're not surprised. There's a lot of tools like alerts and things that can be set to notify you when you cross those thresholds that consumers can take advantage of. I would just encourage your listeners to just adopt digital capabilities, because it really affords you to stay on top of your finances. And there's spending and budgeting tools. There's financial literacy education on how to get your FICO score up. Bank of America, if you're a credit card holder, allows you to get your FICO score monthly for free. Those are all the types of things that I think help people stay on top of their finances.
Yeah, and I think one of the key things you also talked about, which we don't talk about enough, is, you know, if you're part of a family where you share a credit card, and what I mean by that is you have several credit cards that are available to maybe your partner or your children, keeping track of these expenses is very important, and knowing when they're happening as opposed to when you get your statement in. And I think those are important things. Isn't there also a way for people to have an alert to say, if I spend more than this, alert me? Or if someone spends more than this, alert me?
Yeah, a lot of companies have different features. I know we, for example, have the feature that you can select dollar amounts. You can select certain categories that'll alert you when you trip some of those things. And you know, I have teenagers that use my credit card, and you know, I'm definitely keeping track of what they're doing.
Well, look, Jason, I want to thank you for this today. Oh, a couple of things. You know, there's a lot of information here in the conversation. And, you know, most importantly, I want to make sure people know that this is an important way to prioritize, you know, what they want and, you know, what features to look for. And you've covered that. Have we left anything out?
No, we haven't left anything out. But what I would, you know, if people are interested in learning more, go to bankofamerica.com/creditcards. We have information about financial literacy that I referenced. We have information about the preferred rewards programs that we have. We have information about the various card products that we offer. There's a plethora of information that people can look at to meet their financial needs.
Wow, thank you so much. Again, give out that website for more information.
All right, bankofamerica.com/creditcards.
All right, everybody.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Bat.
Yeah, Jason, thank you. Everybody out there, you know, hot fun in the sun, but make sure you know what you're doing and not burning up your budget. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Inspire. Create. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to our good news segment. I really want to congratulate my very special guest today, Jarrett Knott, joining me here today, best-selling multiple award winner, 2021 International Book Award and New Gen Indie Award. Why? Well, here is what he is passionate about. Tiny blunders which cause big disasters. You know, these are mistakes that change the world. And there are so many to really think about in the way he's highlighted and covered them in the book. Fascinating is an understatement, but learning from them, that's really what this book is about. Jarrett, thank you so much for joining me here today. I mean, that's my take on the book. It's like there's so much here. And yes, these are fascinating. They're interesting. But boy, what are the lessons, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah.
And if that's the point at the end of the book, okay, it's not just a collection of freaks and novelties and interesting stories. There is a basic point to young people and to all of us. Are there ways of avoiding mistakes and being very cognitive of mistakes and advanced planning that can save a lot of grief in the end?
You know, was there something that you saw, I mean, that really got your attention? I know there is a consideration in the book for COVID and the COVID crisis. And I often wonder, you know, what is it that has somebody say, wait a minute, I've got to write this book because I've got something to share. I think it's important for people to remember.
Yes, actually, the inspiration actually comes from an old adage. It comes down from different people, but primarily Benjamin Franklin, that for want of the nail, the shoe was lost. For want of the shoe, the rider was lost. For want of the rider, the battle was lost. For want of the battle, the empire was lost. But how often does that really happen, that a single tiny mistake causes an entire empire to collapse? You'll be amazed how often it happens over and over again.
And, you know, it seems to happen over and over again. You know, I want to make a statement, then I want you to talk about it because it's in your book. I'm finding that as, you know, the more work I do with coaching people, especially in groups of young men and women, you know, I'm finding that the history is lost. And it's not the history event itself, but the detail of it. And the reason I'm bringing it up is I'm bringing up some of the things that you talk about in the book. As a matter of fact, I made a reference to Viktor Frankl, survivor of World War II, Nazi Germany, you know, Auschwitz. And it was fascinating how many people were in awe and the realization that, huh, I didn't know that. Can you talk to some of those things that you feel are important for us to know, but then got lost in the translation.
Yes, we see terrible things happening, and yes, too bad, it's a shame, but if you look beyond that, what was the core principle, what was the core mistake that was made, and how could it have been avoided, and how can we avoid similar mistakes in the future? Now, there was one of my favorite parts of the book is talks about Atul Gawande, who is a doctor who wrote the book, The Checklist Manifesto. And he talked about how, gee, in the operating room, the standard procedure was you get 6, 7, 8 years of experience underneath your belt. Okay, then you go into the operating room and just go by gut instinct and hoping for the best and operating that way. But he said, we're human beings. We all miss things. It was great complexity that was being developed in the operating room, the drugs, the plasma, all the different things that had to take place. So, and mistakes were being made and things being missed. So we wondered how they were handling these great complexities over in the airline industry, which they also had a similar situation, a great intellectual, physiological, and so on and so forth challenges that the people, the airline pilots, had to deal with, sometimes on just sort of a few seconds' notice. So he went to talk to the people at Boeing, and it went back to a famous airline accident, a crash that took place way back in 1935. And they were testing the early prototype of what became the Flying Fortress, the B-17. And two very, very good pilots were flying it, and they made a mistake. They forgot to turn off the elevator yoke, which is part of the automatic pilot system. They forced the nose of the airplane up. It stalled and pancaked down and killed both the pilot and the co-pilot. And again, these were among the best pilots that they had. So in the accident investigation, how can this sort of thing be avoided in the future? And it went back to an ancient tool, the humble checklist. Yeah. And so they put together a procedure, maybe 37 items, maybe 44 items, that have to be gone through by the pilot and the co-pilot before the airplane ever takes off. Item number one, such and such a dial has to be turned in such and such a position. Check, check. Item number two, elevator yoke has to be turned off. Check, check. And so on and so forth. Now, if you get too many of them, you get like 80 or 90, it becomes overwhelming, but you get a reasonable number of the critical items. So that became adopted by the airline industry and the Air Force, the Army Air Corps, and it saved hundreds of lives of World War II of novice pilots flying planes with just relatively little experience. And now, of course, for many years, it's been adapted all the way across the airline industry. Human beings can only think about one thing at a time. So with a checklist, you make sure that you're able to think about each of these items and don't miss them. Mm. They took that same that principle, applied it to the operating room, and they got dramatic results. The fatalities were reduced by 36% when they went with the checklist system. Something else, by the way, that helped them, they found that when everybody in the operating room knew everybody else's name, it opened up communication. And that also is very good for reducing fatalities. So that can, of course, that can be applied, the same basic principle can be applied to building a treehouse, can be applied to putting together a garden, can be applied to your daily work, and almost anything we do. A preparation and a checklist, that in itself is a very important principle.
You know, there are so many things, and thank you for sharing that story. There are so many things that I want to talk about with you, and there's so many things we're not going to be able to cover in this short, short interview. But how do people get a copy of the book? How do they find out more about you? Because I know we're going to get rolling here, and we're going to totally forget to tell folks. What's the best way for them to do that?
Yes, thank you for asking. You can go to tinyblundersbigdisasters.com, tinyblundersbigdisasters.com. That's the website. We have a great book trailer there. We have 2.5 chapters that are free. Also, my portrait gallery. I love the portrait gallery. And it's a fun place to visit by itself. And you can, by the way, we have a special for limited time only. We just started yesterday. You can do the electronic download for just $1.99. We're going to keep it on there for about another week. So this is a good time to take advantage of that special value.
Look, there is so much in this book. I mean, what was it, if I can ask you this question, what was the thing where it hit you in your heart and you said, I've got to write this book about this? You know, was there something you discovered? Was there a lost fact? Was there something where you had to say, oh, my gosh, you know, if folks only knew that if Hitler would have done dot, 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 we'd all be speaking German.
Yes, there's some, a lot of mistakes in World War II, and I don't know where to begin. Adolf Hitler, very intelligent man, I have to say it, very evil man. But one of his big mistakes, which a lot of people are repeating that same mistake, was he had a quack doctor, Dr. Morell, who was shooting him full of amphetamines and also shooting him full, apparently, of opioids as well.
Oh, geez, yeah.
And his decision-making, he'd been very rational getting to be in control of Germany and beginning the war. But someplace around 1940, 1941, early 1942, someplace in there, he seemed to start losing control. And when he was under the influence of these amphetamines, and possibly looks like also opioids as well, he would fly into these, well, the more threatening the situation became, the more euphoric and unreasonably euphoric he'd become. He would go into, he'd speak for an hour, hour and a half, just to the people in his office, talking about the great things he's going to do and how things are going to be going their way and so on and so forth, and became somewhat detached from reality and made some very foolish decisions. The decision to invade Russia in itself is highly questionable, but really the decision to declare war on the United States. It was not the United States that declared war on Germany. It was just the opposite. That was a very foolish decision. He already had a plate just loaded with fighting Russia and fighting the rest of the England and the rest of the Allies. But to add the United States on top of that almost guaranteed that he was going to lose. But he, if they just followed a rational behavior, followed the advice of his generals, he has a very good chance they could have won a big piece of World War II. That would be just one example. And thank gosh he did. At one point, the Allies were going to send in a team that I think was already airdropped in near Birch's Garden, and they were planning to assassinate Adolf Hitler there at his home compound there in the mountains. But they decided that he was making so many mistakes, it's better to keep him in power than to take him out.
Yeah.
So they allowed him to live because he was fumbling things so badly.
Yeah.
But then also, too, when I first had the idea, one of the first ideas that came to me was here's the teaser for it, a single piece of tape rotated several inches the wrong direction, changed the outcome of the Vietnam War, and led to the collapse of the Nixon administration. I was like, well, what in the world are we talking about? The United States might very well have won the war except for this single tiny mistake. Well, that doesn't make any sense. That single piece of tape, what are we talking about? It had to do with the Watergate break-in. The burglars were told when they jimmied the lock from the parking garage into the office building, they should hold the striker of the door down with a piece of tape in the vertical position. But they made a mistake. They put it in a horizontal position, so then it could be seen in the hallway by Frank Wills, the night watchman, as he came walking by. You can see that at the beginning of the movie, All the President's Men. Here's this tape, here's the striker, and he calls the police. He had to call him twice, by the way. And there's a good rumor, I think it's true, but I'm not sure it's true, that they originally called for a uniformed officer to come and answer the call, but the officer was intoxicated in a local bar, so he was not able to make it. So they sent the bum patrol in his place. It was three officers dressed as hobos in a jalopy car. Well, the lookout did not recognize them as police officers. When they pulled up to the Watergate, they got into the building, and it was too late to stop them when they arrested James McCord and the Cuban burglars, which led to Watergate, which led to the collapse of the Nixon administration. Henry Kissinger said that they knew North Vietnamese were going to be violating the treaty, and the plan was to go in there and bomb the living daylights out of them again to get them back into compliance. But they were so weak politically, they couldn't.
Yeah.
They had to let the South Vietnam collapse, the administration collapse, all fell apart because of a single piece of tape and a drunk police officer.
Yeah, and isn't that fascinating? There are so many stories that we can point to, you know, where these tiny blunders cause big disasters. You know, one of the things I love, you know, this particular book is 39 Tiny Mistakes That Changed the World Forever. And, you know, you have everything in here, Jared, from medical mistakes to military mistakes, you know, to just a range of things in here. Is there any one of these that you discovered that surprised you more than the others?
Yes, there's several that come to mind. But let me, in our limited time, I'll pick one that's the most stinging. And there was a, it had to do with the 2000 election down in Florida. It was not the hanging chads. It was something completely different. And it was the butterfly ballot. And down in Palm Beach County. And there was, I won't say the lady's name, but she was the clerk of elections, very intelligent, very nice lady, very professional and conscientious. And she wanted to have a ballot with large print so that the older people of the county could read it easily. So she had a designed a ballot that had two pages to it, a left page and a right page, and they had punch holes down the center. Well, Al Gore was the number two name on the ballot on the left-hand side, but he was the number three punch hole. The number two punch hole belonged to Pat Buchanan on the other side of the page. So a lot of people got confused, and Pat Buchanan, by the way, in nearby counties got like 100, 150, maybe 200 votes per county. This one county gets 3,000 or 4,000 votes. And some people punched Pat Buchanan, they realized they made a mistake, then they punched Al Gore, but that invalidated their ballot. There were like 4,000, some invalidated ballots, but 2,000 or 3,000 that went to Pat Buchanan that shouldn't have. Al Gore loses the state of Florida by like 456 votes.
Mm-hmm.
He loses the state of Florida. He would have definitely won the state of Florida. He would have been elected president of the United States. He was adamantly opposed to the war in Iraq. It cost 50,000 lives, and it cost $2 trillion in wasted materiel. Even conservatives, and many conservatives now can see that it was not a wise war. All of that could have been avoided. They had this nice lady on one of the morning talk shows, and they're saying to her, people say that you're responsible for this war because of this ballot. She was in tears. Well, we appreciate the fact that you're crying, but we got 50,000 dead people and $2 trillion down the drain all because of a single tiny mistake.
Yeah, I think that, I think that when I think about blunders that dots are connected, that particular one really just hits me. You know, it rises above where you have a ripple effect. And that's why I was really struck by Jared when I was reading your book. It was the ripple effect of something. So we look at these tiny blunders, right? Just saying.
Right.
We're looking at the tiny blunders, and you think it's like a single thing. But there is a ripple effect to every single one of these in the book.
Domino effect,
A domino effect, thank you. And clearly for me, when I think about some of these, we lived through them. I lived through the Al Gore one, which was just a disastrous nightmare. But there, you know, there are others which go back in time. There are others that you talk about, the USS Maine and the war with Spain.
Right.
But there's a couple that have to do with individual people, right, that have to do with things that happen to individual people along the way. Everybody from Washington, I think, to Roosevelt, you know, you're talking about these individual things that happen. Pinion, this is the last question I can ask you because we're going to be out of time in here. What do you think is the most disastrous, if you have your personal opinion about, look, tiny blunder, this is the one that nobody's forgiven for?
Yes. I'm going to try to summarize it quickly because it's not a real short story. I'll try to make it as short as possible. It had to do with the 1919 Versailles Treaty. Everybody was the winners were dividing up the spoils. Japan had done a great work in defeating the Germans in the Pacific, and they'd taken over the German concessions in China, okay, and they wanted their share of the spoils. And what they asked for two things, a statement of equality that all human beings and all ethnic groups throughout the world should be treated equally under the law by all nations, okay, which would seem like a very reasonable request, but it was opposed by Australia and also the senators in the Western United States. They did not want immigration from Asia because it would be taking jobs away from their voters. So they were opposed even to a paragraph of human equality. The other thing the Japanese wanted, they wanted to be able to keep control of the German concessions in China, which they had taken away from the Germans. Well, Roosevelt needed a vote for the Western senators to try and get his League of Nations through the Senate. He was also under a lot of pressure from Billy Hughes down there in Australia, who was a pugnacious prime minister. So he caves in on that point, does not have the statement of human equality in the Versailles Treaty. But as a sop to the Japanese, he said, listen, you can't have your statement of equality, which said in 21st century mind seems crazy, but as an offset to that, we're going to let you keep the concessions in China. Well, one of his main points, of his 14 points, was local determination, that local people would be able to have their own governments and not have governments imposed on them from outside colonial powers. So it was a violation of everything he promised. This plan was announced on May the 3rd. The dates are important. And on the now infamous May 4th, demonstrations all across China and the beginning of the May 4th movement, which became the communist movement. Mao Zedong became part of it.
Oh.
China became a communist country instead of a democracy like India or Japan or South Korea.
Oh, yeah.
It became a communist country. If they had not made that mistake, if they had just taken a quote from the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal and endowed by their creator, so on and so forth, like this, put that into that Versailles Treaty, the whole thing would have been avoided, okay, and not let the Japanese take the German concessions.
Wow.
China might have been a democracy today. COVID might not have taken place. The war, Korean War, Vietnam War would not have taken place. It would be a different place and a much better place to live. So I had to kind of, it's a long story, but it's kind of jammed it into a few seconds here.
Yeah. And then, you know, the last thing I want to ask you about, because I do have to run, is if you do a book two, will you have a number of COVID blunders in there?
I think so. It's such despair. I mean, it's just they 3.5 million people gone, 400,000 Americans gone. It could have been so easily avoided, and it may have been a war crime. It may have been no accident altogether. There's some steps where they were actually I think the Chinese were deliberate in their spread of the disease. So it's an ugly, ugly story. Part of it is a mistake, and part of it is a deliberate evil on their part.
Yeah, and, you know, and you and I can continue. I know I've got a short interview, but, you know, I think there could be a whole book of blunders on mistakes that were made against humanity, including not looking at what people are going through COVID right now, you know, even increasing the deferment on rent payments. I mean, I just think you're on the tip of the iceberg. I want to congratulate you for a blockbuster book.
Thank you very much.
I honestly thank you so much for putting so many things that are important for us to remember in a book that I'm hoping people read, so that we don't forget that any one blunder can cost lives. Thank you so much for everything today.
Thank you very much for having me. Great honor.
Yeah. I want to just say, everybody, tiny blunders, big disasters, 39 tiny mistakes that changed the world forever. They really did. They're fascinating. We didn't get to all of them. Jared Knott joining me here today. Lots of information. Go to the sites Jared mentioned. But please, please read these and speak with them with your children. This is a book for all of us to be reminded of how vulnerable we are as human beings, and that we just don't know it all. Wow, let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you on Transformation Talk Radio and live on Facebook. Call into the show, 1-800-930-2819.
Welcome to Shades of Spirit, guided meditation on centering and grounding your energy. Please do this meditation in a safe space. Do not drive while meditating. Find a place where you can sit comfortably, either inside or outside. Take off your shoes and connect the soles of your feet to Mother Earth. Take a second to quiet your mind, body, and spirit. Start taking some slow and steady deep breaths in through your nose and out your mouth, allowing yourself to sink deeper and deeper into your space. Allow your eyelids to get heavier with each breath. On the next inhale, I want you to picture a ball of light right in front of you. It just so happens to be your favorite color. Your ball of light starts to spin in front of you. It is inviting you to join it on a little adventure. As you look to the side of your ball of light, you notice you're in a field of wildflowers. Put your hands out, and as you follow the ball of light through the field, feel the tips of the tall grasses and wildflowers tickle the palms of your hands. Take a deep breath in and smell the flowers that are in bloom all around you. If you notice any thoughts other than what you are experiencing at this moment, acknowledge them and let them go. Continue following your ball of light as it takes you on this very special journey. Look down at your bare feet as you follow the path. You can feel the damp, cool soil making contact with the soles of your feet. You may even be able to hear the leaves crunching as you walk over them. You are in a centered state at this moment. You have no resistance. You do not hesitate. You are alive, alert, and engaged. An inner calm takes over. You are in the present moment, connecting with your higher self. You are in a neutral state of oneness. You are centered. You look up to see your ball of light leading you to a beautiful oak tree. Follow it to the white bench that sits just under the canopy of branches and leaves. If you choose, sit down on the white bench, allowing your feet to firmly root into the ground. Picture roots coming from the soles of your feet, intertwining with the ancient oak tree. Now feel that energy come up from your roots, through your legs, torso, neck, shoulders, and come out the top of your head. Allow this energy to flow through and around you. Allow the oak tree to take any and all energy that is not for your highest and best now. Ask the oak tree and Mother Earth to transmute that energy and send it back out into the universe as love and light. You have now grounded your energy. Ready, allow your roots to come back up into the soles of your feet. You look to the side and see your ball of light, ready to bring you back to your physical body. Follow your ball of light on the same path you came from. You become aware of the freshness in the air, the wind caressing your face, and the warmth of the sun on your body. As you approach the place you started this journey, you look back for your ball of light and realize it was your higher self all along, centering and grounding you today. Take some slow and steady deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth, bringing your awareness back to the room you are in. Feel the chair beneath you and the ground under your feet. Wiggle your toes and fingers. Roll out your shoulders and neck. Take a few minutes to become adjusted to your physical body before you continue your day.
Thank you. views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KMUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And as we wrap up the Dr. Pat Show Hour of Transformation Talk Radio, I'm Nate here for a quick look at the traffic. And so far, the 11 o'clock traffic is looking fairly smooth around here, with the exception of a few bottlenecks on 405 heading north through the Renton S-curves and well, south as well. And for those of you heading north through the Seattle on I-5, you'll experience heavier slowdowns beginning at the I-90 lasting through the 520. And that'll do it for the traffic. After this news break, Sabrina Wright hosts the second hour of this morning's Transformation Talk Radio with her Live the Good Life show, speaking with holistic health coach Kim Whitson.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The CDC says immunocompromised adults may soon be able to get a booster shot of the coronavirus vaccine. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said the FDA is working closely with Pfizer and Moderna on the issue.
This action is about ensuring our most vulnerable, who may need an additional dose to enhance their biological responses to the vaccine, are better protected against COVID-19.
Walensky said the CDC will hold a meeting on immunization practices tomorrow after the FDA makes a decision. The Texas Senate is passing an elections bill following a 15-hour filibuster. Senators voted along party lines this morning with Republicans saying it's needed to make sure voter fraud doesn't happen. A 16-year-old girl is being treated at the hospital, and the hunt for a shooter continues following a mall shooting in Connecticut. James Whippen has more.
Investigators say it appears a fight between two groups kicked this off at the Danbury Fair Mall around 7 o'clock Wednesday night. The injured girl was shot in the chest and was alert when being taken away in an ambulance. Danbury Chief of Police Patrick Ridenhour.
We do have some information that a male was running from the scene carrying a hammer. We believe he may have been the target, but she got in the way.
Cops looking for a suspect vehicle that fled the scene, but surveillance camera footage was too blurry to provide a description.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is ripping Governor Cuomo as Cuomo gets ready to step down following sexual harassment allegations. The mayor says Cuomo and some of his staff still have to be held accountable regarding coronavirus nursing home deaths and other possible violations. De Blasio says he looks forward to working with Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul when she takes over and will not rule out running against her when she finishes Cuomo's term. The U.S. Embassy in Kabul is urging Americans to leave Afghanistan immediately. The recommendation covers non-government American workers. The security situation in Afghanistan is rapidly deteriorating as the Taliban continues to overrun towns. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Hi, I'm Nathan Mum, host of Tech Time Radio with Nathan Mum on KKNW. Tech Time Radio's live show is Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m., and you can always check us on the web at techtimeradio.com. Our segmented stylized radio gives you the breaking news before it hits mainstream media. Join myself and Mike Roday as we'll make you laugh.
That's good stuff. Hooked on Fox worked for you, didn't it?
Just a little bit. And learning something new in technology, join us Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m., and Thursdays from 6 to 7 a.m. The technology show for the everyday common person.
And now for your Alternative Talk weather outlook. We're currently in the middle of an excessive heat warning. For today, we'll see sunny skies throughout the day, giving us a high near 91, and northwest winds between 5 and 7 miles per hour. Overnight, just a few clouds, with a low around 69. For tomorrow, it'll be the warmest day of the heat wave, with mostly sunny skies bringing us a high near 94 and a low around 66. And then finally for Saturday, looks like another day filled with sun, high near 88.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready to uncover, develop, and celebrate the greatest you you can be. Welcome to the Live the Good Life Show with Sabrina Wright, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Sabrina is a holistic health and wellness advocate, consultant, encourager, and therapist, here to help you dive into self-care so you can be your own greatest advocate. Could you use a little direction? Sabrina takes a holistic, multifaceted approach. No part of your well-being is left behind. We all want to feel healthy, happy, and whole. So let's get to it. The Live the Good Life Show starts now.
Welcome, everyone, to Live the Good Life Show. I'm your host, Sabrina Wright. And today, every day I talk to you, I'm excited. because we have a plethora of topics to discuss when it comes to self-care and wellness. Today, I've got a few questions for you. Has your get up and go got up and went? Are you feeling like some days you're a little older than you than your biological age indicates? How about one Wednesday morning, you wake up and try to get out of bed, and you've got this creak in your back, your digestion is kind of fussy, and you're just feeling off sorts? Well, today's guest, holistic health coach Kim Whitson, and I are going to talk about how you can offset those unfortunate things that we typically, I know we're laughing, right? That we typically chalk up to, oh, I'm just getting older, I'm aging. Well, we're going to defunct that myth today. And I'm really excited because Kim has got some fantastic tools and recommendations and some really in-depth knowledge that she's going to share so that you really understand what's going on with your body and how you can change. And what I love about Kim's program is it's really not changing your health, but it's redefining what aging looks and feels like for you. We've got a call-in show today, so get your questions. And our number to call in is 1-800-930-2819. And welcome, Kim. I want to introduce you as a holistic health coach who got into coaching 4 or 5 years ago because of a health challenge that was going on in your family, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, please, tell us your story.
Okay, well, thank you for that introduction. It was wonderful, and I really enjoyed that. One thing that really stuck out to me that I just want to address before we get started, you said, you know, when you wake up and or you look in the mirror and you feel older than your biological age. My goal is to feel younger than our biological age. So it's not just to feel our age. I want to feel younger than my biological age. So that's part of my passion. But yes, as you said, I became a health coach back in 2016. And prior to that, I was always interested in health and wellness, but I didn't think a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I had kids, became a young mom. And when my son was 11 or 12, he got diagnosed with celiac. And for those of you that don't know, that's an autoimmune disease where you can't eat gluten. So you have to go gluten-free. The body attacks your intestines, basically, when it has gluten. So that just led me into down a rabbit hole of research. You know, first of all, how to go gluten-free for my child, which then led to healing the gut using food, which then led to a term I had never heard of, which was health, you know, become a health coach. Back in 2015, I personally had never heard of a health coach. I had no idea what that was, but it struck me, and I thought, ooh, so, you know, just an intuitive hit. I need to look into that.
Mm-hmm.
Which just then led me down the road of researching programs to get certified and, you know, start going down that road. And so in 2016, I became a certified health and wellness coach, extended my studies to become a transformational coach using the transformational coaching method.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then just continued studying and doing more and more because I just couldn't get enough, loved it. And so that's kind of how I became a health coach, was just going down that rabbit hole to help my son. And it led me to where I am today.
So who do you, or actually, what is the focus of your coaching? I know it is health. I know it is to help people to feel younger, but are there certain components or certain targeted things that you're looking at to help people become aware of that are going to be able to help them change?
Yes, absolutely. I would say that typically I work with women, usually over 40, to help, and their main complaint will be, I can't lose these stubborn pounds. I have a few pounds, whether it's, you know, 10, 20, 30, more. I just can't seem to lose the weight. I'm getting older. It's getting harder. I have no energy. Help me. You know, and it typically coincides with perimenopause, dealing with hormonal changes, and that feeling of, it's just inevitable. This is what they all told me was going to happen. I'm going to get older. I'm going to gain weight, and there's just nothing I can do about it. And so those are the women I typically work with and my programs are geared towards. And it's all about shifting hormones, balancing hormones to help with weight loss and maintaining that weight effortlessly, really, right? Because we don't want to live on the struggle bus forever. And so that's typically the group I work with, women over 40, who are feeling less energy, seeing the weight creep on, and don't know what to do about it, or feel like they've tried everything and nothing works.
Well, I'm excited to tell you that we have a caller. We've got Caroline from Toronto on the line. Can we pass her through?
We sure can. Welcome to the show, Caroline.
Yes, Caroline speaking.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
Can you hear me?
Question.
Yep. What's your question, Caroline?
I'm 58 years old. I'm about 8 years in with menopause, and I have had about 60 pounds gain weight over the past 8 years, and lots and lots and lots of hot flashes. So I've tried every cream, every natural pills out there. I've even gone to the doctor, signed the form, just said, yes, I'll get cancer if I take this stuff. Tried that. That didn't work. Major headaches. So nothing has worked for me. So I would appreciate some help. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for that question. Sabrina, do you want me to just dive in?
Well, what I think is really exciting, before you answer Caroline's question, is that you've got an opportunity for all of our listeners to actually have a one-on-one discovery call with you. That's a gift that you're providing. Would you just tell a little bit about that? Because I think, Caroline, this is something you're going to want to take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm offering to all the listeners a free, I call it a breakthrough session. It's about 45 minutes to an hour phone call. And, Caroline, we would just talk about where you're feeling stuck, what's holding you back, identifying exactly what you want for your life, for your health, and then figuring out what's the best path forward. And in that 45 minutes to an hour, it's really pretty much guaranteed to have at least one, you know, major light bulb moment of realizing what's been holding you back and keeping you stuck. And so it's a complimentary call. I encourage everyone listening to, you know, Sabrina, I think you'll provide the link to my calendar to get that scheduled. And you know, even if it's just the one time we talk, it could shift everything and just, you know, change the trajectory. Or you may decide you're interested in continuing to work with me. So I encourage you to make that call. Some one-on-one focus time is amazing and really eye-opening. Many discoveries can happen. To address your question specifically, Caroline, the first thing I would tell you is it really comes down to balancing three major hormones, right? And it's, when we talk about perimenopause, going into menopause, we often think of the hormones being estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, right? Those types of hormones.
Mm-hmm.
But what I focus on are the three major hormones that when they are in balance, everything else seems to fall a little bit more into balance. And those three hormones are insulin, cortisol, and oxytocin. And so insulin, when you eat the right foods at the right time, plus some lifestyle changes, you can balance your insulin, which means you're balancing your blood sugar. When you can get rid of the blood sugar roller coaster, you know, that feeling of every 2 hours needing to eat,
I don't know if you can resonate with that, Caroline, but back before I started this journey, I felt like every 2 hours I needed to eat something. You know, I called it my two-hour beating, or I would get cranky, hangry, you know, that feeling. And what that really is your blood sugar roller coaster. And when your blood sugar is on a roller coaster, your insulin is also on a roller coaster. And if you can get that balanced through eating the, you know, certain types of foods at a certain, you know, in the right kind of timing, and you have that balanced blood sugar, you actually just stabilize the insulin, and that's where magic really can happen, okay, with food and weight loss. And with hot flashes, I personally have found when insulin levels are balanced, hot flashes are less. They lessen, whether they're less severe, less frequent. When we can lose weight because our insulin is balanced, it reduces perimenopausal symptoms, menopausal symptoms. The second hormone that, Caroline, I would, you know, work with you on is balancing cortisol, and that's that stress hormone. When cortisol is high, cortisol is the fat storage hormone. So when we are at a chronically high level of cortisol in the body, we're going to hang on to the extra weight. It's really hard to let it go. And so I work with women to get out of the stress response and into the relaxation response to lower the cortisol, balance it out. And then the third hormone is oxytocin, which is in direct opposition to cortisol. When cortisol is high, oxytocin is low. And oxytocin is that feel-good hormone. You know, when you hold a baby, the oxytocin goes whoop. Or you pet your dog, you know, the oxytocin goes up, or you give someone a hug, or you just have that joyful feeling, oxytocin is high. So when oxytocin is high, cortisol goes down. And so those three hormones, when we can find a nice balance, helps with the weight loss, helps with the symptoms that we deal with going through perimenopause into menopause, and really just kind of helps you age backwards, personally, in my opinion, in my experience. Is that helpful, Caroline?
Yes, it is. It's information. So information is crucial. But I have heard all this information before. It's what to do, what to eat, what to drink, you know, to put it all into place. I haven't slept in over 8 years a full night's sleep because of all that. So but it's helpful, and yes, that's information, but I think I need to go further into me personally and what to do, to eat, and so forth.
Right, yeah, absolutely. You know, Caroline, I would really encourage you to find the link provided by today's show to my calendar, and we can get into more detailed one-on-one needs. And exactly, you really hit the nail on the head when you said, I've heard all that. What, you know, it's all about what I eat. It's all about the stress and this and that. But then take it a step further. How do I actually make those changes? I've tried and I fail. I try again, I fail. And that's really the key to the transformational coaching method that we'll probably get into a little bit later in the show. And what holds us back from making those changes that we want to make, that we know we need to make, but can't seem to do it on our own? And that's a huge part of why working with a coach is so helpful.
I really appreciate your time. I'll be booking the free consult. Absolutely. Thank you.
Wonderful. I look forward to speaking with you, Caroline. Thanks for calling today.
Thanks
for calling in, Caroline. Now, before we go to a break, I want to leave you with this thought. Balancing hormones and redefining aging is not a female only desire, and it's not a female only issue. These hormones span age demographics and they span gender. So when we come back, we're going to get in a little bit closer and a little more specific about hormones and understand what they do so that we can maybe stave off the energy issues, maybe prolong the aging process and really live a more healthy, vibrant life. And so when we come back, We're going to be talking about just how to do that with Kim Whitson.
Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit youarepurepotential.com for more info.
Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
Can't get enough of I Have Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. I Have Soul, Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Obert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Obert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyobert.com. That's drkathyobert.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that set your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Live the Good Life Show. Today, we're talking about redefining how we age. And my guest today is holistic health coach Kim Whitson. And Kim, would you say that this is information that really is only pertinent for people who've hit 45 and are looking at 50, or would you say that this information is for everyone?
Absolutely for everyone. We're seeing a trend in our country where, people struggling with weight is becoming more and more. And so this is really for everybody, any age, knowing about the key to losing weight and keeping it off and maintaining that healthy weight. It's not about looking up a meal plan. You know, we could all do that. It's knowing what foods help our body act as the well-oiled machine it's designed to act. And understanding the three major hormones, not the hormones that we think of as women when we enter into the, you know, our later years, not the progesterone, testosterone, and estrogen, not those, right? But the hormones that we all deal with, male and female, young, old, and it's the insulin, cortisol, and oxytocin. And when we know how and have the tools to balance those three hormones, it's helpful for any age. Because what I found is, a woman through her years in her 20s, if she's struggling with weight in her 20s, it creeps down a little more in her 30s, and by 40s, she's, you know, whatever, however many pounds overweight, doesn't feel comfortable in her own skin, that person is going to struggle a little bit more through menopause with the hot flashes and the symptoms of perimenopause, whereas someone who enters into perimenopause with balanced insulin, balanced cortisol, balanced oxytocin might sail through a little bit easier, right? I'm not going to say symptom-free, can't say that, but, you know, maybe the hot flashes won't be quite as bad. And so absolutely, balancing these three hormones that I focus on in my program is really for everybody across ages and across genders.
Well, and I find that if we take a look at the progression of our lives, we're raised in a home, and mom and dad typically take care of what we eat, paying the bills, regulating our life schedule, even helping to participate in planning playtime and fun time and, you know, extra activities. And then what happens is we get 18, we graduate from high school, and then we're out in the world. And I don't know about you, but when it came to college, you always hear about the college 15. Well, I was hearing that back in 2020. It was like it was the quarantine 15. And so it's lifestyle changes, in my opinion, and those are those self-care tools that we really don't learn about as we're living our life and as we're progressing through our lives. And I think now in our modern day and culture, it's really important to get that education and that information. Just like Caroline said, you've heard it, but how do we apply it? And not every single person on the face of the earth responds the same way to food or stress stimuli or exercise activity or even quiet time. And unfortunately, there's been the culture that this, where we see a new diet or a new technique that comes out, and this is going to cure everybody's issue. When if you take a look at it, we were never intentionally designed to be duplications of each other. We all have specific genetic markers, right? We have a frame of reference that we grew up in and a lifestyle that was modeled to us. And now we find that it may not fit for us anymore. And that's why it's really important to have a coach. When I found you, I was super excited because I was looking for something other than the hormone therapy that typically gets prescribed. And I'm a firm believer in lifestyle, and the choices and the habits and the routines that you have are what create and dictate the type of life that you're going to have. And there's never just one solution to any problem. So I found your call really, really helpful.
Great. Yeah. I'm just taking notes because you said so many important things that I want to remember to touch on. So just the idea of we're kids in a home, we learn those habits from our parents. We take them when we leave home, either keep them, change them, expand on them, you know, whatever the case may be. I was blessed, fortunate, you know, to live in a home where my mom believed in cooking real food. Not everybody grows up that way, especially now. Everyone's so much busier. It's so easy to run through the drive-thru, you know, make something quick. And that's not always the best health option for us. You know, if we're eating on the run all the time, it's really not ideal. And even when we grow up in a house that focuses on home cooking and real food, we go to college and that goes out the window because, well, we're in college and what does mom know anyway? And so we go through these definite phases of our life, and knowing, I get that question a lot. What the heck, what should I even be eating? And you also came on that you touched on that point, we're all different. So it's becoming your own best expert. You know, I can give you a generalized idea of when you sit down to eat a meal, what it should look like, generally speaking, you know, protein, fiber, healthy fats, what it should look like. And then you, as an individual, have to do some experimenting because each person is unique. And that's why there's so many diets. Go on a keto diet, the paleo, vegan, low carb, low fat, high fat. It's very overwhelming. It's very confusing. There is no one size fits all. However, having said that, there are some guidelines that eating in a certain way help to balance the hormones that I've been, you know, talking about, and it's in the balanced hormones that we achieve better health. That was such an important point. I'm glad you brought that up because I do encourage my clients. Some of my clients can handle more carbohydrates than others, and so it's identifying what works, right? So did that answer your question?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, when I work with individuals lifestyle-wise, the simpler the system is, and again, you're cultivating a system that's going to work for an individual. And there are some basic parameters and some basic outlines. And more times than not, on a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual level, you've got to take a look at taking a self-inventory and getting rid of what doesn't serve you. So physically, that could be that pint of ice cream that you have a couple times a week, not a couple of scoops, but the pint, right? So, or it could also be that you need to take a look at your beauty products. Are they laden with chemicals? So you need to take a look at your overall lifestyle, health, and habits and look to detox those things that are not feeding and nourishing your life, not just your body, but your life.
Absolutely. And, you know, detoxing those heavy metals and toxins out of our body actually help balance these hormones as well. So it all ties in together. You know, it's about the food you consume, the water you drink, the soda you don't drink.
Right? Yeah.
The skincare you put on your skin, the supplements you may or may not take. It all ties in together. And when someone who's looking to, say, you know, lose 40, 50 pounds, it's overwhelming. And so what happens so often is that person just throws their hands up and says, forget it, I can't do it. And so I'm all about taking small steps, one step at a time. Okay, this week, for all the listeners out there today, this week, just increase your water intake 8 ounces. Each day, just 8 more ounces today than you did yesterday, slowly increasing. You know, and just see what just feeling hydrated feels like. You know, most of us are dehydrated. We think we drink enough water, but we don't, right? So it's one small step. And then when drinking enough water is just part of your daily life, it's just what you do, okay, then what's the next step? And over time, you can look back and go, oh, look at how far I've come, and it doesn't feel like it was such a hard task because it was one small step at a time. You know, in my health coaching training, one of the instructors always said, small hinges swing big doors.
So I love
small
that.
Small changes can really give you big results. One step.
Love that. I really love that. Oh, Kim, we've got another caller on the line. We have Farah from Florida. She's got a question about elevated cortisone. Cortisone. So what would be one simple pitch for her? Farah, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Hey, how are you?
Good. Yeah, I was listening. I was kind of, my radio was going in and out because I was in the car, but you had me at cortisol and stress and... And I'm hitting my afternoon slump right now, so it was perfect timing.
Oh.
So I was just wondering, is there something that I can do? I mean, I'm fairly health, I'm very health conscious, let's put it that way. But I'm really struggling in the afternoons. And I just reach for that, like, chocolate bar, or I started drinking coffee again, which I don't like. I think I'm on a vicious cycle. So.
Well, thank you for calling in. That's an awesome question. I feel like so many people are struggling with that elevated cortisol. The last, 18 months or so have been particularly stressful for all of us. And that afternoon slump is real. The first thing that just popped in my head is, just to check your water intake. Are you drinking enough water? My general rule of thumb is to drink 60-70% of your body weight, but in ounces. So simple example, if you weigh 100 pounds, drink 60-70 ounces of water a day, right? And I try to get the majority of my water earlier in the day, right? Because I don't want to, at 8 o'clock at night, realize I need, 30 more ounces of water here, and then you're up all night going to the bathroom. So, heavy in the morning on the water. Before you drink that cup of coffee in the afternoon, try a big glass of water. You mentioned just the cortisol, and I think you said something about sleep. And, one thing that cortisol type means our stress response is on and activated, and we want to turn that stress response off and turn on the relaxation response. So mid-afternoon, you start feeling that slump, drink a big glass of water, sit down on the couch or wherever, if you have a nice spot outside, sit down, close your eyes, and do something I call the 5-5-7 breath. It's the simplest way to switch the body from stress to relaxation. It's so simple, you've probably heard of it, but it's just to sit there, inhale through your nose for a slow count of five, hold your breath for a count of five, and then exhale through your mouth for a count of seven. A little bit extra, getting all that stale, air out. And then do it again. Do maybe five rounds of the 5-5-7 breath. After your big glass of water, set a timer on your watch for 2:30, right before that afternoon slump hits. Drink your water, go do your 5-5-7 breathing. Take 10 minutes out of your day and just see if that helps. Just see if that if you notice any difference in how you feel for the rest of the day. Is that helpful?
Yep. Absolutely. I do. I've been really busy working, so I'm usually good at drinking water, but I have not been. So as soon as you said that, I got up and grabbed my water.
Great.
And I like the breathing, I know, will definitely help. I have to set my timers.
We forget to breathe. I can't tell you how many times I noticed, oh, my gosh, I'm holding my breath. Okay, breathe. Really helps.
I had a massage last week, and then the massage therapist said, breathe. I'm like, I am breathing. She's like, no, you're not.
Like, there you go.
They can tell. They certainly can tell. My stress and my – and because I know I had all my blood work and saliva work and all that done with the cortisol, so – but it's – is that a hormonal issue too with I mean, I did the whole Hashimoto's and menopause all at the same time.
Wow. Okay. So you got a lot going on there. Yeah.
So that's
you know, I can't speak to the only hormones I feel comfortable speaking about are insulin, cortisol, and oxytocin. The others I would, you know, refer to a doctor for some support on that. But what I have found and in my experience when we can really get the insulin and the cortisol in check, in balance, and the oxytocin kind of follows in that same way, then everything else seems to fall in place a little bit better and our bodies just stay in that balanced state.
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense. I'm going to try it. I'm setting my alarm right now.
Wonderful. Awesome. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I love the show. I'm glad I found you guys.
Yay. Awesome. Thank you.
Well, before we go to the next break, I just want to share that Kim is going to be extending to all of the listeners a breakthrough session, which lasts 45 minutes to an hour. Is that right, Kim?
Yes.
And we're going to share her calendar link so that you can schedule a one-on-one call with her after the show. Thank you again, Sarah, for your call. And now we'll go to our next break. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about how do we prevent these hormones getting out of balance. Not only treat them, but how do we prevent them? So we'll see you when we come back.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Velara Company. I've been using the Velara Company equipment, the Air Machine, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Hi, I'm Carrie Neal from Nailed It Radio. Understanding our personality preferences can be huge in conquering miscommunication with others. For example, the Myers-Briggs judging type prefers structure, organization, planning ahead, and making decisions quickly and moving on. However, perceiving types prefer to be boundaryless, spontaneous, and wait until the last minute. A great strategy for those who prefer judging is to give perceiving types options, time to make a decision, and be open to other options they may come up with. Also asking for information ahead of your own deadline creates less stress for both types. Perceiving types can create a system to keep track of scheduled plans so they can be on time, and they can avoid sharing too many open-ended options by focusing on what is most important. I specialize in helping people understand these differences so you can take them into every aspect of your life to thrive. For more information, you can visit my website, KerriNeal.com. That's KerriNeal.com.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to the Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit nancylandrum.com.
Man, that is such a summer bomb. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Welcome to Live the Good Life Show. I'm your host, Sabrina Wright, and today we're talking hormones. And my guest is Kim Whitson, who's a holistic health coach, my coach, and becoming my friend. And this is a dynamic conversation. And we've got a caller on the line, Kim.
Awesome.
Lisa from Southern California. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Sabrina and Kim. I am thoroughly enjoying what you both are sharing. And it's such, not only is it informative, but it's applicable to everybody. And we can implement it right away, whether it's the drinking the water, the breathing, the making a few modifications in the food choices. And listening to you both, it's so ironic because right before you went to the break, Sabrina, you said you're going to talk about prevention. And that was my question. That's what I told the gentleman that answered the phone when I called in, was as much as I'm listening to all this, it seems to me, ideally, and Kim, I'm curious if you work with clients that are wanting to prevent gaining weight in the first place, or prevent diabetes, or prevent heart disease. Because in my background, it seems like all of the stuff that you're talking about makes us healthy overall, not just in weight gain and weight loss, but really our entire body, right? We'll think more clearly, our digestion will be better, all of that because of all these different things you're suggesting. And so I'm so anxious to hear what your guys are going to share about preventing hormonal imbalance in the first place. So that, I'm just ready to listen now because my question, I think, is going to be answered.
Well, that's an awesome question, Lisa, and so important because not everyone feels like they need to lose weight, right? They just were like, I'm at a healthy weight, but I want to age well. So what do I do now?
Yeah.
Like you said, to prevent any hormonal imbalances. So just a few things that I, really useful tips I can give you today to start today. We've already talked about the water. Number one thing when I start working with clients, the first thing we do is address hydration. So we've already talked about that. The second thing would be to take a really good look at your food. Okay, is the food serving you to your highest good? I encourage organic as much as possible. Not everyone can afford it. Not everyone can find it. But it's increasing the organic as much as possible. Maybe visiting your local farmer's market. The closer to the source your food is, the higher in nutrients it is. And it's all about increasing nutrients, decreasing processed foods. So, start today. Add one extra serving of a vegetable to each time you eat. Google, look up the Dirty Dozen. That's what I would say. The Dirty Dozen or what you want to make organic, that's your first priority. Make those shifts. Everything doesn't have to be organic. When you eat, good rule of thumb, protein, fat, and fiber. Each time you eat, if you eat protein, fat, and fiber, and in my programs, I get really detailed on what's a good fat, what's a good protein, what's a good source of fiber. And yes, it can. You don't have to eat meat. You can eat meat. You don't have to. How to get that every time you eat for a well-balanced meal experience so that your brain goes, I've got the nutrients I need. I can stop sending out those signals that you're hungry. Because everyone, I'm sure, has experienced this. You eat a bag of chips or Doritos, and you're never satisfied. 30 minutes later, you're looking for something to eat. Like, I want something. That feeling. I want something. And that's because you didn't get the nutrients you needed from that bag of Doritos. It was empty, empty calories. And so your brain still sends the signal, you're hungry. You need to eat more because we didn't get what we need. So I encourage nutrient-dense foods when you eat with a good balance of protein, healthy fats, and fiber. And my general rule of thumb is about 75% of your plate should be plant-based. Lots of greens, lots of good vegetables, okay? Let's see, what else to prevent? Check your stress. You know, even if you don't feel acute stress, most of us, especially given this last year and a half or so, we're kind of operating at this low level of stress, this chronic low-grade stress, right? There's a lot of noise in the background in the world. There's fear, a lot of uncertainty, and that creates this low-grade chronic stress in us. And stress is either on or off, so it doesn't matter if you're, you know, running for your life stressed or sitting in traffic stressed or worrying about what's happening in the world today stressed. Our body reacts the same way. And so it's to go inward, am I holding stress in my body? And, you know, even if all, you know, even if you just start implementing that 5-5-7 breath, set a timer on your phone to go off once a day, twice a day. Do it before you go to bed. Do it when you wake up, when you're sitting in your car. Do a few rounds of that 5-5-7 breath and switch off the stress response. That's the quickest way to relaxation is through the breath. So I would do that. And then I would add some fun. You know, ask yourself, am I doing anything in my life that's fun? Because when you're doing things full that are fun and filled with joy, your oxytocin goes up. And when your oxytocin goes up, cortisol goes down. So do a little inventory. Am I incorporating fun into my day, into my week? And if not, how can I? So I hope that might be helpful. You know, there's lots of answers to this question. Those are probably the top key bullet points that I could give you today. And then in addition to the food, there's a real need for supplementation, finding a good plant-based whole food supplementation to give you those nutrients that we just can't quite get from our food. That would be probably the final bullet point for today. I hope that's helpful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I think it's not just helpful for me, but I think anybody listening live, tuning in live, and anybody that listens to the replay will definitely be able to glean from what you've just shared. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for calling.
Of course.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye.
Bye, Lisa.
Oop, I'm getting a signal. It's time for our last break. And when we come back, Kim's going to give us a pearl of wisdom and a gift that she'll tell you about when we come back.
Can't get enough of iSoul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We've got a few minutes left, and we actually have another caller, and the caller is Lori from New York. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Hi, Sabrina. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Lori.
I've been so involved in taking notes and watching and listening that I'm under the wire here for this question, so I'm just going to ask a very quick one. As I'm listening, I'm guessing that the balance of these hormones could affect possibly hair loss. And I'm just wondering, can that, once you balance these things out, is there a chance that this can turn around?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. When we balance the insulin and cortisol, especially, definitely can have an influence on hair loss. When we load our body up with good nutrients, right, we are typically overfed but undernourished in this country. And when we can flip that around and really nourish our body with the nutrients it needs, absolutely, I think you would definitely see a difference and with the hair loss. Sabrina, was there anything you wanted to add with that?
Also, too, it's not just the lifestyle, Lori, that those activities that create that balance, it really is the whole package. So as Kim had mentioned in an earlier segment, it really is a matter of the supplementation. And supplementation is going to be able to bridge the gap between what we eat and what our bodies need function well. And many people have heard that I'm a huge advocate for supplementation, and I partner with a plant-based, whole food, organic company, and we can talk about that at a later time.
Beautiful. I appreciate that.
But thank you for your call. That's really good.
Yes.
Putting yourself in balance overall is going to be able to affect so many different systems, and we are all interconnected. And that is whole person health.
And Lori, I just want to say, feel free to get the link to my calendar and book a call, and we could, just really dive into one-on-one what's going on with you, what's holding you back, and where it is you want to go.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. This was wonderful.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Lori.
All right, so real quick before we sign off, Kim has generously offered two gifts for you. One is the discovery call. Do you want to just share your gifts?
Sure. Real quick, we run out of time. A free breakthrough session. It's a phone call just to hop on the phone with me one-on-one, figure out what's holding you back, where you want to go and what's holding you back and what's the best way to get there. And then the second thing I'm offering for free, Sabrina will share a link for you. It's a PDF, 6 Habits for Healthy Aging, 6 things you can start implementing now, today, to just start turning back the clock and just feeling better each day. Thank you, Gwen. This is Live the Good Life Show. Have a great week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Live the Good Life Show with Sabrina Wright. Tune in on the second Thursday of next month at 11 a.m. Pacific for more tips, tricks, and insights to help you invest in your best self. Find balance in your lifestyle and watch yourself evolve into who you're meant to be. For more information about Sabrina and her services, visit therightbalance.com. That's therightwritht balance.com.